As you have begun this revitalization process, I'm the one to blame. Okay? So you're going to say, Reg, what are you doing to my church? You can start with your leaders, but then if you want to, you can come and you can let me know, like, what's going on. I don't like change, and yet I find that change is just normal. Like, if I sat with any of you, I would say, what have you seen that's changed in your life? Like, as I think about that, it's like the way you used to, let me give you one example. One example would be this, the way we used to do banking. Remember banking, where you would write checks? Like, maybe some of you still do, but when we set up our last bank account, which was many years ago, we said, oh yeah, we want some checks. And they said, okay, we'll give you checks. It's going to cost you like $120 to get like 200 checks. I'm like, oh, forget that. And then instead, I can print out a check from an app now, right? And I pay all my bills through an app. It's all on my computer and my phone that also makes phone calls. We call it a cell phone, but it's really a computer. But can you think about the changes that you have experienced, right? Have you experienced those changes? Yes, we have. And there's more changes coming. So when people say to me who are like 60 and say, I'm done, I don't want any more change, I'm like, you're going to need to get over yourself because change is just normal. So it needs to be normal even for the church. And as we go through the text this morning, the message never changes. The methods change. How we do what we do needs to shift and change, and it has changed over the years. So let me just, as we start this morning, let me pray for us and invite God's Holy Spirit, who is here, to actually open our eyes and ears and heart to receive from Him. So Father, we thank You that You are present in this room, that You are present with each person who's here. You're present with those who may be watching online or who will watch for this sermon and service later. Father, we just thank You that You are present. And I know that You have a word for every person who will hear this message. And I pray this morning that our hearts and heads would be open to hear the message that You have for us. For we pray this in Your name and for Your glory, Jesus. Amen. So if you think about revitalization or renewal, one of the questions that I always have is, how does that happen? Like, how does it actually happen? What are some examples that we can go to? In the text that was read for us, and thank you very much for reading, I appreciate that. Reading that text, and it was giving you just snippets, so I was giving you sort of like the highlights. It's like the highlight reel. So if you're watching, you know, the Canucks game, you don't want to watch the whole game, you just watch the highlight reel, which is like 5 minutes. And I only gave you that because we would have been here for about half an hour reading the full text. But when you think about this way to spiritual renewal, how does it happen? And I'm going to suggest to us this morning that spiritual renewal or revitalization happens in the heart and then spreads out from there. It really starts within us. So the picture that I want to give you this morning, and if you can put the picture up, is a picture of dropping a pebble or a rock into a pond. And what happens when you throw a rock into a pond? There are ripples that move outward. And I want to talk about the three ripples. The first one we'll talk about, and then there's a one that's a little further out, and all of these impact each other. So that you're going to start with the heart, with the internal. Now, I am going to take a little bit of a side and go to the chart that's next. So you may have done this with Andrew, who came from City to City Australia, but just the idea of what does it look like for a church or an organization to sort of look at their life. And so this is just a bell curve. And, you know, every church has always been planted. There isn't one church in the world that wasn't started by somebody. So even as you read through the book of Acts, Paul and Silas going around, planting churches, starting new things, this church was planted. It was started by some group years ago who felt they needed a presence in Vancouver. And you're still part of that legacy. And maybe you were here when it was planted, I don't know. But if you were, you can remember, what was it like? And so there's the starts with a launch. And then there's growth, there's momentum growth, there's strategic growth. Peter talked about being strategic. And then there's sustained health. And think about this as an organization, but I also want you to think about it, what does it look like as a person? So in our lives, we start, Hopefully we're growing, we go to school, we learn things, we think about what is God has put inside me that I should do, that might be sort of what your role in the world, and then how do you live your life, and then we don't want to actually go to maintenance and preservation. So sometimes as we get older, we do go sort of to maintenance, but I want to encourage you as we go through this text, what does it look like for you to actually grow in your own life, as it doesn't matter what age you are, to think about how am I being strategic and being sustained in my health as a person. So this is just a chart that I wanted you to see and to think about this morning. I want to start this morning by an example of what does renewal look like? What does the way to renewal actually look like in our world today? And for you as a church, for me as a person, for you as a person, what does this revitalization and renewal look like for us? And I want to start by going, like, there's not a lot of it in the New Testament, because the New Testament is sort of like the fresh new, the launch, the momentum is growing. But we can look at examples in the Old Testament, which is what we read, about a nation that's been up and down. So we have the ups and downs of the nation of Israel. So just to give you a very fast overview, they come into the land of promise. Moses has led them through the wilderness. They've come out of slavery. God is establishing them as a nation. As they spend 40 years in the wilderness and basically a whole generation dies off, and a new generation is taking leadership. Joshua is part of that new leadership, and he brings them in to the place that God has provided for them, a nation. And it starts out, after Joshua dies, it's led by judges. So you can read the book of Judges. And they're men and women who are set apart by God to lead the nation through his gifting through short periods of time. So God would gift like Gideon or some other the other judges. That's just one of many judges. The last judge is actually Samuel. And Samuel comes out, you can start reading 1 Samuel, and there's a shift in the nation. The nation is now looking around and saying, other nations have kings, we really should have a king. Now God had said through Moses, and as they're around, that I'm actually your king. I want to be the one that you're going to follow. I'm the one that wants to give you leadership. And so they come to Samuel and say, no, we want a king. We desire a king for ourselves. Now, in case you think they're being completely disobedient, they weren't. Because in Moses' writings, he actually allows for a king. And so there's this, okay, they're going to give them a king. But there's always risks involved with setting up that key leader. And so they move forward with, let's have a king. And Samuel comes along and says, God, who is it? And King Saul is pointed out to be the king, the very first king of the nation of Israel. And he starts out being very humble, but he becomes very prideful and very disobedient. So God says, wait, and he doesn't wait. God says, no, you need to do this, and he only does it halfway. I'll give you an example. You can go read it for yourself. Following Saul, we have another king who comes along, and that's King David. And I would say, if you looked at that bell curve, that's probably the high point, right? Its momentum is growing. David is sort of that high point. Look at this, it's awesome. And it's a high point in their history. Even though, when you look at his life, he was a mess. Have you actually looked? I mean, look, it's, you know, the man after God's own heart. He wrote a lot of the Psalms. I wonder when he wrote. He wrote a lot of those Psalms, I think, when he was younger, especially the ones that were like, God is my protector. And then as he got older, I think the Psalms really shifted. And there were some songs, Psalms of lament. And yet, even though he was an adulterer and a murderer, yet out of that, he was humble and repentant. So that's a really critical piece when we think about leadership and personal renewal. Is we can be a mess. Most of our, like you talked about, just wipe it and it'll be gone. Oh, that's not how life works, right? We can have hard things in our lives and we struggle with them, but how do we deal with them? How do we actually move toward renewal and revitalization in the midst of those hard things? So here we have David. He's this man who is not perfect, and yet he's humble and repentant. He overcame the nations that had attacked them, and he brings in this wonderful time of peace, and his love for God is so evident. And we see it in the Psalms, but we also see it in that he wanted to build a permanent place of worship for God where everybody could come together. God said, no, actually, you have way too much blood on your hands. but your son can do it. And so David didn't just say, well, then I'm doing nothing. He actually said, no, I'm going to start gathering everything. So he had a vision for the future. He wasn't going to do it, but he was like, I'm going to put money aside. I'm going to put building materials aside. It's all going to be set up. I think the plan was made. The location was set. He just wasn't doing it. And then the next king that comes along is his son, Solomon. And Solomon is building the temple for God. It's a place to come and to worship. And in Solomon's time, you could say, well, maybe that was the highlight. Well, the building of the temple was definitely a highlight. And yet how things ended for Solomon were not fantastic. Things were already starting to fray and breaking down. He had married a whole bunch of wives who served other gods. And instead of saying, no, you need to, you need to worship one God who is the God of all gods, he said, no, you can worship your God. So Baal, Ashtoreth, temple prostitution was taking place in Solomon's day, sacrificing children to idols, prophets cutting themselves. It became a very broken society. So if you want to read it, you can read 2 Kings 21, so on. And yet sometimes it actually seems that God left some kings in place for a long time, even though they were not great. So there were warnings that came over and over. You think the king was just by themselves. No, God continuously sent prophets who went to the kings and said, hey, this isn't good, this isn't right, you need to change the way things are going. And they ignored the prophets, or they killed them, or they set them aside. So now we come to the story of what was read for us in 2 Kings 22. So I hope you have your Bibles with you or your app open that you're ready to look at these texts. So let's look at these texts again, but it's a story of renewal. And you need to notice that in this story of renewal, it starts with Josiah's personal renewal. So let me just quickly read the text again. 2 Kings 22, verses 1 and 2. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. How many of you would let your 8-year-old run your house? Not likely. And yet here is an 8-year-old who has become the king. Now, how would that actually work? Let's think about that for a minute. It would work in that he had people who were walking alongside him. So when we do leadership, when we think about renewal, renewal happens in our hearts and individually, but for it to continue to grow, we'll actually need other people. We need people around us. I love your focus on small groups. And hopefully your small groups are like, let's come together and let's really support and encourage each other. Let's bring cake when we have anniversaries and celebrate those things together. And let's also think about outwardly, what are we doing to say as a small group? What are we doing out there? So that focus as well. But here's Josiah, 8 years old, and it says he reigns 31 years in Jerusalem. And life is changing. Then it gives you his mother's name and so on. And it says he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in all the way of David his father, and he did not turn aside to the right or to the left. So let's just unpack that. Personal renewal is choosing to follow the Lord. It's choosing to follow God. Personal renewal begins with a choice that we choose to follow God. So what it says in this text is he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. So he knew what he knew, he followed. He said, this is what God wanted me to do, or wanted us to do, how he wanted us to lead. And he even points to a figure. He looks at, David led in this way. Now, David was not his father. It was probably his great-great-grandfather. But the way the text would always be written is that if you were following this person and your genealogy, he would be described as your father. So he's looking back and saying, how did the best king lead? David was the best king. And so he followed in the ways of David. Now in the New Testament, Paul writes in Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new self, talking about those of us who following Jesus, we put on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. So we too stop and go, what is it that's going to help me grow? It's that I choose to put on a new self. And the new self comes to us through Jesus Christ. Everything that Christ did on the cross, he did to give us a new life. Matter of fact, the scriptures describe it as we were dead and now we're alive. And so we think about Jesus came to give us life. In John 10:10, I've come to give you life and to give you life to the full. So even when you pass the peace this morning, you're really saying, because if you take that word peace and use the word shalom, it actually means more than just peace. I hope you're feeling good. Like, it's, you're calm. Like, just be peaceful. No, it's actually, I want you to be complete. I want you to be whole. That's what shalom means. So when you pass the peace, it's like, how can I help you be whole? How does God help you be whole? Because I can't make you be whole. Only God can. And so that's what Colossians, Paul is writing, is that we put on a new self that comes to us through Christ. And that is a new self that isn't just a one-time event. Well, I prayed a prayer back when I was, whatever, 5, 10, 25, whatever that time was. But no, that new life that is being renewed every single day. So that personal renewal that starts with our heart is something that is continuous. Now, you'll know in this text, and I pointed it out, personal renewal is following a godly figure. And here it's David, so walked in the way of his David, his father. So when you think about a godly figure, maybe in your life you can think of somebody like that. Can you think of an example of somebody who really walked with God? Maybe you can't, but I remember as a young teenager, maybe 12 or 13, I read a book called Peace Child, and it's about Don Richardson, who's a missionary, and he's, I don't know if any of you know this book, but anyway, Don Richardson is a missionary. He served in Papua New Guinea, and he was working with the tribal people, and he would live right with the tribal people. And one of the things that would happen with the tribes is, of course, they would fight each other. And there would be, it would always be like, well, you killed one of ours, so we're going to kill one of yours. Well, you killed one of ours in a worse way, now we're going to kill two of yours. And so it's this back and forth, and he's trying to share the gospel with both of these tribes, and he's frustrated. He can't figure out, how does this happen? How do I share with them the love of Jesus, who wants to bring you peace and wholeness and completeness when you're doing this crazy stuff? And so he's a story of a godly figure. And so Richardson, at one point, is like, how do you guys ever come to peace? And there was enough, he had earned enough reputation and that they knew he loved them, that one of them said, well, the only way you can do it is if you take a baby and you give it to the other tribe. You take it from this tribe and you give it to this tribe. And then they choose to do what they want with that baby. And they can choose to kill the child, and it'll just keep the wars going. And so as Don Richardson kept sharing with the leaders, like, this is what God did. God did exactly that. He gave his child to the world and said, what are you going to do with this child? And what did we choose to do? Yeah, we choose to kill the child. Put Christ to death. But that was part of God's plan. It was different. In Don Richardson's case, one of the leaders went to his wife who just had a baby, grabbed the baby, and headed over to the other tribe. Well, you can imagine, mom's like, unhappy. This is not a good idea. And he takes the baby over to the other tribes and gives it to the other tribe. And it takes some time to figure out what's going to happen with this. Are they going to just kill the child? We're just going to continue to fight each other? And the other tribe, one of the leaders there grabs a baby and brings it over to this other tribe. They're swapping children. And that was the way peace came. And out of that, Don Richardson could share, this is exactly what God did. God did this for all of us, for everyone. Now, if you don't like to read, it was actually made into a movie in 1972. So I'm sure if you went to YouTube, you could find it somewhere. It would be there. A great story of what it means to follow a godly figure. As Josiah followed David, this tribe was watching Richardson and following the godliest figure of Jesus and his sacrifice. Then personal renewal requires discipline in our walk with God. So you notice it says again in that text, if you go back to it, Josiah did not turn aside to the right or to the left. You know, there's always influences in our life. Have you noticed there's influences? There is in my life. One of the things that I notice is there's the distractions of life. There's just so many distractions. Like this crazy thing that I have in my pocket can be such a distraction. One of the things that I do to manage that is I turn my notifications off. I don't want to know. I can look at it when I get to it, but I don't want it blinging and blanging at me and telling me every time I have an email. And on one other thing, maybe it's me, but even on my person, when I'm working on the office, I turn off all the sound on my computer. I don't want to hear it. It's bad enough that I see the pop-ups, right? Like, you know, your email comes in. If I could shut that off, I probably would too. And maybe there's a way, and if you're a tech, you can come tell me how. But anyway, it's just this discipline. What does it mean to discipline ourselves to walk with God, not turn to the right or to the left, to stay focused on, God, what is it that you have for me? An example I would give is the example of marriage. You know, for a marriage to be healthy and strong and continuing to grow, it actually takes effort. It takes time. It takes focus. And with God, he waits patiently for us to be with him. He wants us to be with, or he wants to be with us, to have us come to him and to be quiet and listen. So the discipline is really sitting with God. Sitting and listening, using God's word that he gives us and reading it and saying, God, what is the word you have for me today? Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So this text is really focusing on, what are you focused on? My body is a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And I'm being renewed in my mind so that when testing, hard things come, guess what? I am actually leaning into what God has. And stopping. So Paul here is calling the early church to give themselves fully to God. And it takes sacrifice and discipline. So this is the first ripple, is this personal renewal. So when you drop the pebble into the pond, there's that first wave, and that's our lives. Now you may think about this whole idea of personal renewal. The next one is leading ourselves toward God through the Holy Spirit. The second is leadership renewal. So I want you to think this morning about, well, you may be thinking, I'm not a leader. Anybody say, I'm not a leader? Okay, guess what? Everybody here is a leader in this way. Let me frame it for you. Everybody's a leader in at least this way, that you have to lead yourself. You still have to lead yourself. So what does that mean? Well, it's simple things like, I decide when I'm going to get up in the morning. So if let's say you start your job at 9 o'clock in the morning, you could say, I'm going to get up at 5 to 9 and be at my job by 9. Now, if you live in Vancouver, you're going to have to live in the same place where your job is. But if you're going to commute, you're going to look at that and go, no, actually, I need to get up at 8 o'clock in the morning so that I'm on my way to work by 8:30 so I can be there at 9. Guess what? You are leading yourself. You are making decisions about what it means to lead. So when we talk about leadership renewal, please don't go, well, that's not me. It's all of us in this room. You're leading in some way. And I could talk about layers of leadership. If you have a family, you're leading. If you work, you're leading something at work. Even if you are the lowest person on the job, you still get to lead. So leadership renewal. So again, the text comes up for us, 2 Kings 23, verse 1, where the king, Josiah, sent, and all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem were gathered to him. So here's the king showing leadership in a big way. He invites all the leaders of the nations to come to him. So now the nation has already been split, so it's Judah and Israel, the two nations. So Judah and Jerusalem come to Josiah. And he realized that for revitalization, for renewal to take root in Israel, he needed other leaders to embrace and engage in it. In the same way that you as a church have invited other people to help you through this revitalization process, you brought other leaders in, people like Peter, and said, we actually need others to help us walk through this process. So Josiah brings these people along, and he calls all of the leaders to come and join him. And they have a meeting. And so what you need to notice here, that leadership renewal, the second ripple, is following the direction guided by God. So Josiah wants them all to know this is the word of the Lord. Leaders must lead based on God's word and be led by God's Spirit. So in the New Testament, and as New Testament people, it's Word and Spirit. Always Word and Spirit. We read the Word and we listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never do something that is in the Word that is clearly spoken in Scripture. And Scripture will never lead in a way that the Holy Spirit would say, go in a different direction. So those two things you hold together. So following is leading in those two ways. Josiah saw that following God's ways was the path to renewal. Let me give you just an example in my ministry that I've done as part of that. So one of the pieces that I did when I led a local church, and I led our church, Greendale MB, for 20 years, God would give me something, would say, Reg, I think this is the direction for the church. And first of all, I would say, well, Lord, I'd be journaling, I'd be writing it down, and then I wouldn't say anything to anybody, I wouldn't even tell my wife. I would just say, Lord, is this really what you're calling? And I would wait. And I would just wait, and if I would say, if this was just that I had a crazy idea and it needs to go away, and it goes away, then I forget about it, that's fine, I'm done. But often what would happen is I would hear it from the Lord, and then I would hear it again, and I would hear it again, and I would hear it again, and I would pray about it. And then my next thing was to say, okay, Lord, if this is truly from you, and we in the church all have the same Holy Spirit, and we all read the same Word of God, I would wait and say, God, I need you to tell one of my other leaders this is the thing. And I would just sit back and pray. I wouldn't talk to leaders. I wouldn't influence. I don't think I did. You can go talk to my leaders and ask. But I would feel like I wasn't influencing. I was just waiting. And I'd be at a meeting with the board or with our elders, and all of a sudden one of them would say, you know, I've been praying and I really think the Lord's telling us to do this. And it's exactly what God had told me like 6 months ago. And I see that as a way of saying, when we want to move together in leadership, we do it in this way. We do it together. Paul, in writing to Titus, a young leader in the church, informs him of where this renewal, this revitalization comes from. In Titus 3, verse 5, it says, He, Jesus, saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, so it's nothing we've done, it's everything Jesus has done, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Leadership renewal comes through the Holy Spirit. Where we're listening to God, what is it you want to say to me today from a text that's 2,000 years old, 4,000 years old? What is it you want to say to me? Because God is present and his word is living and active today. It's not an old book. It's not a dusty old book. It's actually a living book. And we often read this text thinking renewal is personal, and it is, but it is also corporate. The renewal starts with us, that first ring, and then it expands to others. So this happens through leaders who commit to shepherd those that God has brought to them. So our salvation, that renewal, brings us to spiritual life. It comes through the Holy Spirit's work in us. And this work is not simply accepting the gospel message, but actually growing in it every single day and living it out. This is a new, fresh word. That's the good news every day. The next thing I want to say about leadership renewal that comes out of this text is it's about influence. Leadership renewal is about influence. The people that Josiah invited to come to him came. And I believe they came. I mean, you could argue that they came because he was the king. It was positional leadership. Now, I don't know how old he was when they came. If he was 8, maybe he was 12, maybe he was 16. Okay, so a 16-year-old now is calling for the leaders, the strong leaders who have gray hair, come and I'm going to tell you some things. So they came to him, I think they really came to him because of his influence. They could see his life had changed. His personal life had been shifted. He was a different kind of king than they had experienced in the past. Israel's storied history showed kings of rebellion. And these men and women maybe came at his command, but also because they saw something different happening in their nation because of who the leader was. They were influenced by who the king was and what he was doing. Now this morning, I want you to think, has there been somebody in your life who has influenced you? Just think for a minute. Is there somebody in your life who's in, maybe a family member, maybe a friend, maybe somebody who's walking with you right now? Who's influenced you? Let me tell you a quick story. When I was a teenager, I was influenced by a pastor in our church who invested his life in me. And one of the things that he did was when we played floor hockey, and I was probably 14, 15, and we played floor hockey, and we played rough, like no holds barred. Like there was no peace happening in that place. It was, you know, take the guy out. And we played, 15, 16, 17-year-old guys, we played so hard that our other leaders wouldn't play with us. They're like, we'll watch you play and make, hopefully there's not too much blood on the floor at the end. But he was the one person, one leader, the one adult who would play with us. And that said something to me as a young person, that he was willing to take the risk to step out and actually spend time with us and do the things that we love to do. And that influence was something that, so when I would go to him and ask him about things, that would allow me to be connected to him. So when he said something, I actually paid attention. When he actually corrected me, and I could give you examples and I won't, but I could give you examples of when he corrected me on things, I actually listened and went, you're right, that I need to stop doing that, or I need to do something different. So leadership renewal comes with influence. And you have influence. Just look around you and say, who do I have a relationship with? Friends, coworkers, family. You may not think you have a lot of influence, but you actually do. And sometimes we have to handle that very carefully. But we have influence and we can speak into people's lives when we are given permission. Leadership renewal also requires discipline. Again, you know, personal renewal requires discipline. Leadership renewal also requires discipline. It's doubly true for those in leadership. It's the commitment to do the right thing for the right reasons. And we find that all throughout Scripture, the right reasons are not just internal and for our benefit, but for the broader good of God's kingdom. So learning to listen to God, to guide people, being focused and diligent. As I said earlier, there's many distractions, and they aren't all bad, but they can take us away from the calling that God has placed on a leader's life. And finally, this morning, we'll talk about the third ring, corporate renewal. So personal leadership, now corporate renewal. 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 3, it says, "The king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart," excuse me, "and all his soul, and to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book." And here's the really important part. "And all the people joined him in the covenant." Corporate renewal is making a commitment to follow God's leading. To follow God's leading. And I want to say to you this morning, sometimes following God's leading is not easy. It isn't even pleasant. So when my wife and I were getting ready to step into ministry, I remember when we were finishing our education, we were like applying for work. We looked at it and went, we had many of our friends were like, well, I want to work. We're both from BC. We were finishing our education in Saskatchewan. Many of our friends said, well, yeah, I want to work in a church, but I only want to work in a church in the Fraser Valley or in Vancouver or in Victoria. And they were saying, this is what we feel God has called us to. And my wife and I prayed about this. We said, you know, I think God just has called us to serve him wherever he's going to put us, wherever that is. So it was just simply, we made a commitment to follow God's leading. Now, there were times where did we push back? Yes. So we started out in youth ministry, loved working with students. I'll just quickly say we didn't have a great experience with the church. We had a great experience with the students, but we didn't have a great experience with the church. And leaving that made us really rethink, is this what God has called us to? And we had a great church where we had done our internship that kept calling us. I think they probably called us every week and said, you need to be in ministry. We have a church that you need to go to. And I kept saying no. you need to go and be a lead pastor in this church. I said, no, I'm too young. And they would quote to me, you know, Paul's writing to Timothy, don't despise your youth. And I'm like, I'm 25. I can't lead a church. I'm not trained. I gave them all kinds of excuses. And yet they kept calling. They kept calling. And we kept, then my wife and I went back to, you know what, we had said we would follow God's leading wherever that was. So it's like, God, this is a huge risk for us. We don't feel qualified. We don't feel prepared. But if this is what you're calling us to, we're going to do it. And we did. And we stepped in. And I would say that has been the mark of our ministry throughout. Risk, 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 risk. So if you're risk averse, God is saying, no, actually, I'm going to call you to risk. And maybe even as a church, God's going to call you to risk. Because corporate renewal makes a commitment. I'm going to follow God's leading even when it's uncomfortable. Even if when it's not what I want. Think of those ripples. This is the one, the ripple of change. Corporate renewal is making a joint decision, corporate decision, to follow God's word. Reading it and accepting its authority in our life as a community. So this is now corporate. As a community, you're going to say, this is God's word for us. I don't know what your process completely was, but when I hear Peter up here sharing about it's shifted, we've come up with a new vision, we did it together, it's ours, that is vital. That it's ours. We own this. So if you don't have it written down somewhere in your home, I'd encourage you to write it where you go every single day. It might be in your kitchen on your microwave. It might be in your bathroom on your bathroom mirror. Just put it there. Write it down. This is our vision. This is not just ours, and so it's somebody else's. It's mine. I'm going to own this vision. Corporate renewal is that joint decision to follow God's word. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, 3-5 says, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Now, why is Paul telling them that? Because he's saying this is the most critical thing you need to know as a church. Any church. Every church. That Christ died for our sins in accordance with scriptures, that he died for the sins of your neighbor, he died for the sins of your enemies. And so we need to carry that with us. This is of first importance. And so we need to keep it there. The gospel is the power of God for those who are being saved. And this is a lifelong, life-changing, life revitalization action of God in us personally, in us in leadership, and in us corporately. It's constantly being renewed, and new life is coming in us. So how does corporate renewal happen? Let me quickly give you a couple things. Corporate renewal requires people engaging. So what I just said, put that vision statement, it's probably written down somewhere in a document, or you got it in an email this week. It's somewhere. And if you just take that and, like I said, write it down, put it somewhere, it means you as every person who's part of this congregation, and if you're a guest here this morning, you can actually join in too and say, I want to be part of this. And in Josiah's day, as the leader, he made a strong commitment and he invited people to join him. Notice in the text, it uses the word covenant. Covenant is much stronger than even contract. Now, in our world, we think of contracts, binding contracts. Covenants are even stronger than that. It's a commitment to say, God is going to do this, and we're going to do this. We're going to do this together. And notice that it's recorded that all the people joined him in making this commitment to follow God. So corporate renewal requires people engaging. And that's even true in our lives, both personally, corporately. When things get hard, we can live out of the work of Christ and see our lives being rejuvenated, being renewed every day. Again, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4:16, so we do not lose heart, so it's hard, we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. God wants to bring that renewal, even when our physical bodies, our emotional selves are struggling. God says, I'm the one who's going to renew you every day. Turn to him. So we see here the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in every believer brings continual renewal. I love that in this verse it says day by day. He doesn't give us enough for tomorrow, until tomorrow. He gives us enough for today, today. So each and every day, God's Spirit is at work in those who follow him. Let me close with this. I always close with a bit of a now what. If you've followed me in my whole life, I always have said, what do I do with this sermon? Because I could say amen and let's be done, and you'd all go, well, that was maybe okay. But now I actually want you to do some work to think about this. So as we think about those three ripples, on the personal level, I want you to ask yourself this question. What personal decision will lead you towards spiritual renewal? So this year, as I took on this new role, I've had a habit for years. I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and my habit is I try to give that first hour of the day to God, from 6 till 7. And I was finding that I was being challenged. I had to be at meetings by 8 o'clock or 7:30, and I couldn't. I was rushing to get my 30 minutes in that I really wanted an hour. So I made a decision, and I said, personal leadership, I'm now going to get up at 5:30. My wife looked at me and said, I'm not getting up at 5:30. And I said, you don't need to get up at 5:30. I'm getting up at 5:30 because I need this hour to be with the Lord. And so I don't know what it is for you. I'm not asking you to get up half an hour earlier. Maybe it's a simple thing like, let me give you some suggestions, simple thing like reading God's word every day. Now maybe you're there already. It might be adding something like, I'm going to actually journal and say, God, what is it you're saying to me today? And when he gives you a phrase or a sentence from a text that you've read, you're going to write it down. And then you're going to say, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to me from this text? I don't know what it is. It could be a personal decision toward your spiritual renewal. Might be actually saying, I'm going to join a small group. Because a small group's going to help me grow in my faith. I don't know what it is. So, first question. Second question is, what leadership decision is needed to move to spiritual renewal? So I said, all of us are leaders. We lead ourselves. And we often have influence in leading others. So what kind of leadership decision for family, friends, coworkers? Now I said to some of you when I came in that we actually live in the same house as our oldest daughter, her husband, and 4 grandkids. So in 2020, just before COVID hit, they moved in. They sold their townhouse, which was small. 4 kids. She's homeschooling. They needed a place that was bigger. We had a suite in the basement where my wife's parents had lived. And we had others. And we said, we'll move down into the suite. So we'll go from 2,400 square feet down to 900 square feet. Much harder for my wife. She said, you got the garage and you didn't have to downsize. Which maybe I didn't. But I think about this spiritual renewal and what does it mean to lead, it comes back down to what kind of distractions keep me from actually having influence with my grandkids. So it's like, oh, okay. So I actually pay attention to what they tell me and what they're saying. So one of the things that I'm finding out is they hate it when I'm on my phone. Even if I'm working, like, well, yeah, I'm working. It's like, Grandpa, we're here. So I'm like, okay. So when they, this is why I try. I'm not 100% successful. But when they come in to our space, I try to put my phone away. You get my undivided attention. And I see that as that's just one thing. So as a leader, what kind of leadership renewal would you need or change would you need to make to say, I want to be a leader who is making an impact, having influence in people around me? It could be work. Thirdly, what corporate decision, so now this is talking about a church, might you need to make to see spiritual renewal take root? I think one of the things that you did, and I've encouraged you to continue, is prayer. Making prayer central, creating space for prayer. Not just our prayers tend to be, God, give me this, and God, I need this, and I'm in trouble here. And it's like, no. I love using the framework of the Lord's Prayer. So it starts with what? Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Guess what? It starts with worship. Like when I pray with people after a service, I always start with, God, you're amazing. You're here, you're present, you love us. Why? Because all of a sudden it takes my eyes off my problem. and it focuses on the one who's the problem solver. And that is a huge shift. And so as we start and think about how do we pray, can we start with worship? And then what's the next thing? Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we pray that your kingdom would come in Killarney Park and be church. What would that look like? If your kingdom started to come right here. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think God wants his kingdom to come here? Can I hear an amen? Amen. Yeah, God wants his kingdom to come here. So you don't have to say, well, we're not sure if God wants this. No, no, no. I am absolutely certain God wants his kingdom to come here. So now we invite him to say, God, bring your kingdom. What would that look like? Wow, it means we're going to be multicultural. Yeah, that's because that's who's around us. Let's look around, see what's happening. And then, you know, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And then what? What's the next one? Yeah, give us. Now we get to, Lord, I have some needs. I need your help. Right? But it starts, look at all the, there's a whole bunch of stuff before I need this. So I really want us to think about that. So as leaders in the church, what decision or direction would bring a change toward renewal in the church? What a great example Josiah is to us of this wonderful opportunity to say, God, what's renewal look like? What does rejuvenation look like? And so as you reflect on this text, even this next week, as you think about some of the questions that I've raised, I pray that God would lead you into the direction he wants you to go. And I'm praying that God's kingdom would come here with you, because we know that's what God wants. And I pray for our churches as I drive into the city. I pray for the churches I'm driving past, Abbotsford, Langley, Surrey. And then I get to Burnaby and Vancouver. I just pray for the church. When I go to Whistler, I pray all the churches in Vancouver on my way out. Let me pray for you right now. Father, I want to thank you for this great word from 2 Kings. And I thank you that you are the one who leads us, and we want to be followers of yours. Lord, we want to listen to your Holy Spirit. We want to listen to your word. And I pray for each person in this room this morning, whether they've been here for 1 minute or they've been here for 60 years. Lord, I pray that you would encourage and bless them. Lord, we pray that your kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. And we think of this part of the earth, this part of Southeast Vancouver. We pray that your kingdom would come and that you would use Killarney Park MB Church to bring your kingdom here. And all the people who love you and follow you would be used by you, God, for your glory. For we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.